The Lord help us this evening to commence with hymn 739. No help in self I find, and yet have sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. 739.
Together from God's holy word, the gospel according to John chapter 3. The gospel according to John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. May God bless that reading of his holy word to us and teach us how to pray. Most kind and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, we come before thee once more on this thy day, and it is toward evening and the day is far spent. Now we do pray that thou would come and tarry with us, abide with us, Lord, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and may it be like those two on the road to Emmaus. And he went in and tarried with them. Oh, we would lay hold on the hem of thy garment. We would draw near to thee. We would seek to touch thee by faith. Oh, we would seek to detain thee with us. O Lord, we pray that thou would have mercy and turn in with us this evening and be pleased to be in our midst. For Lord, thou hast said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. May it be so this evening. We're persuaded, Lord, that there are more than two or three here this evening who seek to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou would make known thy gracious presence to us. Thou would order all our worship this evening. That thou would appear for us, Lord, and grant us that influence within our hearts. And that thou would order all things. And Lord, that thou would draw our affections heavenwards and set them on things above. And we pray, Lord, that thou would have mercy upon us. And as we think of that passage of thy word we've just read, oh, that vital point, ye must be born again. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that that new birth may be seen in each. Oh, that we may be able to trace out those beginnings in our hearts, the work of thy gracious Spirit, quickening us into newness of life, putting thy Spirit within us. But, O Lord, we pray that thou touch hearts, Lord, that may not have been touched thus far. Hard hearts, unconcerned hearts. And, O Lord, we pray that thou have mercy upon those that have sought thee long, those with mountains, burdens of sin, those, Lord, that have sought thee long and yet still wait for thy appearing. Oh, that may this be the glad hour. Oh, would it please thee, Lord, to go right where they are this night, that thou speak to them, that thou comfort their hearts, thou give them, Lord, what they need, thou knowest, that word in season, that sweet token raised to a hope in thy precious blood. O Lord, we pray that we may be drawn to Calvary, drawn there by faith, to look on him whom we have pierced and mourn for him. Oh, that we may see our sins put away, the paying of the price, that the redemption payment paid. Lord, we do pray that thou bless us each, that we may have that assurance that we are thine, forever thine. Lord, do increase our faith. Be with those, Lord, who have felt and tasted that he is precious, and yet now feel, how they long for a fresh token, further supplies from thy kind and gracious hand. Oh, their hearts to be touched, the soft heart given, that they may drop the soft tribute of a tear. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou favour us with thy gracious presence and an eye of faith to behold. And we pray it may be, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, to be found followers of the Lamb. So, Lord, do work mightily in our midst. May thy word have free course and be glorified. May it be used to the pulling down of the strongholds of sin and Satan. Do come and make the place of thy feet glorious. Glorify thy great and holy name. And Lord, may the love of Christ be shed abroad in each heart. And may our hearts be overflowing, our cups running over, as we leave thy house this night. Send none empty away. And may there be a few coming up this evening, seeking, longing after thee, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. O Lord, grant them a portion to take home. Supply our every need, in providence and in grace. Thou knowest, Lord, the case of each soul here, in their daily lives and in the matter of eternity. And oh, may we be granted every mercy, every favour. Deal with us in that familiar way. Speak comfortably to us. May there be those words of encouragement, a strength equal to our day, a help along the way. Lord, be with any tempted, burdened souls in the midst of temptation. Oh, we pray that thou make that way of escape. They may flee for refuge to the hope set before them. We thank thee, dear Lord Jesus, for all that thou hast done for thy people. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art able to succour, that thou dost retain that sympathising heart. and that thou canst be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and that thou dost answer the poor cries of thy people. Thou satisfy us early with thy goodness. Feed us, feed thy poor with bread. Feed us with that bread of life. Lord, we pray that thou be with us. We meet round thy table at the close of this service. This do in remembrance of me. And we're conscious, we're brought to the last Lord's Supper of another year. And that we're conscious of the passing of time. And oh, may it not just be another Lord's Supper, the coming and going. Oh Lord, may there be hearts touched. Oh, that thy Spirit may move us. Lord, we pray that thou be present with us. And so do seal thy word into our hearts and forgive us our many, many sins. We pray for each of the friends here this evening. Lord, are those with hard things, no doubt. Lord, there may be those with mountains, providentially, and difficulties and perplexities, things that are hard to understand. Oh, we pray that thou make known thy way and thy will to them, and that thou lead them and guide them and keep them, instruct them in the way which they should go, and give them grace to walk. Lord, how we need more grace. And Lord, thy dear children, grace to be given to walk worthy of that high calling. We may not bring reproach on thy holy name. We may conduct ourselves rightly before the world around us. For thou said, ye are my witnesses. And O Lord, may we each examine our walk and our profession. O Lord, we pray that thou give us more faith, to believe what we do believe. Give us more grace, more humility. May there be that love flowing between the brethren. May there be that love flowing in the church and the congregation. Oh, may there be that gathering in to the church here. Build them up, we pray, in numbers and in grace. And be with this cause of truth. We pray for the neighbourhood that thou would have mercy upon it. Maybe an ingathering, Lord. Maybe those of thy dead elect in this neighbourhood. Could it please thee to bring them in, fill this place once more with praying, seeking, longing souls. So Lord, we pray that thou would have mercy upon us. Oh, we look to thee for everything. May a precious Christ be lifted up this night. Oh, may sinners be enabled by thy grace to look and to live, to be found trusting wholly in the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, looking to his righteousness alone, trusting in that blood alone. Oh, give us hope fixed on him. Lord, lead us by faith through thy sufferings, and may it be all this was done for you. So do favour us, we pray, and bless us indeed. We live in an evil day. There's much to distress, much to cast down as we look at the evil day in which we live. Yet, what a mercy that thou art still on the throne, the Lord God omnipotent reigning, and thou art in complete control of all things. And, O Lord, we pray that thou art remember thy people still. Remember thy churches. Remember thy labouring servants. Bless thy people to the uttermost parts of the earth. And Lord, as we look at this land and nation in which we live, oh, we pray that we may be favoured to see better days, that there may be a turning unto thee, that thou wilt revive thy work, that thou wilt, Lord, establish thy churches. There may be a godly increase, spiritual profit and prosperity in our day. Keep, stem the tide of Antichrist in our land. We see it rising, the rise of Islam, the rise of other false religions. O Lord, we pray, have mercy upon us. The rising generation, Lord, keep them from all the evil of this world. We cannot keep our children. We look to thee, Lord, to keep them. Put thy fear in their hearts, we beseech thee. And if thou dost, then they shall not depart from thee all the days of their lives. And so do remember the young people. Do find them suitable partners in life. Cause them to call upon thee in the days of their youth. Teach them thy ways. Bring them to thy feet, we beseech thee. Keep them from a misspent youth, we beg. And bless us each, parents, grandparents, whatever case or state, Lord, hold us fast. Be that wall of fire round about us, the glory in the midst. And oh, may we be each led and found in heaven at last. Leave none out, we do beseech thee. May not a hoof be left behind. May we be gathered into that sheet knit at the four corners and taken up to heaven. Oh Lord, save us from our sins. Save us from ourselves. And pardon all that we ask amiss. As we ask all, in the name that is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 511. In all my troubles and distress, the Lord my soul doth own. Jehovah doth my griefs redress and make his mercy known. 511.
Will you turn with me to the chapter we read? The Gospel according to John, chapter 3. And with the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Gospel according to John, chapter 3, and the 16th verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is quite possibly one of the most well-known texts in the New Testament. It's one that's often quoted, and it's one that's often misquoted. And what do I mean? It's misused, the meaning of it, the context of it. It's one of those that is often used by those who profess that there is this universal salvation. There's a free will, that God gave his only begotten Son for the entire world, and they have a free choice to choose him or reject him. But he died for all, and yet only some will choose him. You know, when you begin to consider it, when you begin to pull these things apart, it speaks of confusion from one end to the other. Because surely, if our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ was truly Almighty God, he would know exactly for whom he was suffering. There wouldn't be a suffering for none, for some who would eventually be found in hell because they didn't choose him. He suffered for a particular people, given to him by the Father. But I think often, because of the amount of misuse of this text, we sometimes fail to speak from it. But it's a beautiful word, you know. The whole of the gospel is in this text. For God so loved the world. Well, let us deal with that first point. Is it speaking, for God so loved the world? Well, think of it like this, because this is the Lord Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, who had told him personally, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. The vital need of the new birth, the Spirit quickeneth, the Spirit of the Lord, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and the vital necessity of the new birth, the Holy Spirit breathing life into a soul. You cannot pick one text from the Word of God out of context and try and fit it for yourself, because it's confusion and it's against the teaching of God. You know, you have to read the context. Verse 15 comes before verse 16. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have it eternal life. And then, oh, the dear Son of God, as a commentary on the love of the Father, for God so loved the world. And how does he so love the world? How does he so love his dear children born in this sinful world? Well, he doesn't spare them his own Son. He gives them his only begotten Son. He doesn't withhold him. He gives him. He so loves. Not the earth, not every man, boy and girl and woman born in this earth. Oh, but his dear children, from the beginning of time to the end of time, those that were given by the Father to the Son, that love, oh, it's summed up. He so loved the world. He so loved the world. Well, Paul, preaching, and he says this, "For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." This was his preaching the gospel of Christ. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. You see, we have to compare Scripture with Scripture. And I know I might be labouring the point, but you know, our young people grow up and there's so much false religion around at the moment. So much false religion that's quite close to ours, quite close to our denomination. And it must be spoken about. You know, our children must have these things explained to them. And older friends. Well, why does the Word of God say this? Is it not everyone? No, it isn't everyone. No, it isn't everyone. And if it meant the world, you know, the Lord Almighty God, he flooded this world because of sin. Oh, he spared Noah, those 8 souls in that ark. But his anger at sin, his heart grieved with the sin of mankind. And he flooded this earth. And he killed all living things, living, breathing things that were on the face of the earth, except those 8 souls and those that were in the ark, those animals. But friends, God has reserved this world for destruction. Oh, it was a work that he was well pleased with, but sin has entered. And this is a cursed and dying world. And the Lord's children are born in a cursed and dying world. And they're born dead in trespasses and in sins. And an enemy has come in and sought to snatch them away. He's filled their hearts with evil things. He's blinded their eyes. He's stopped their ears. And they're born with original sin in them. In their birth through Adam. And there's a great condemnation over the whole of mankind, because we all come short of the glory of God. You know that we are unable to please him in and of ourselves. And you know, the solemn point is we're unwilling by nature to please him and to worship him and to praise him. And if your salvation and my salvation was down to us to bring about, we would die and perish in our sins, for we would never summon the right thought toward the Lord God in heaven. You know, we're desperately wicked. We've a heart that's deceitful and desperately wicked. And who can know it? Well, only those that are, by the grace of God, brought to see it. And these are they whom God sent his only begotten Son into the world to save. And the vital point this evening, the vital point with Nicodemus, are you and I born again of this Spirit? Have we this one thing needful with us? Verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Well, these words spoken to Nicodemus, they entered into his heart. Now, we see, we only have to turn a few pages and we see him, the Pharisees, speaking. We have it at the end of chapter 7. And the Pharisees and the scribes, then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees. And they said unto them, why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. You see what they thought? None of the rulers, none of the Pharisees have believed on him. And everyone who believed on him they thought was cursed. You see the blindness of man. You see the power of Satan. You see the hold over these people. Nicodemus saith unto them, doth our Lord judge any man before it hear him, and knoweth what he doeth? Then answered and said, they answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. You see, Nicodemus, the words of the Lord that Jesus had entered into his heart. That good work had been begun that night when he came in secret. Oh, and there was that prompting from within. There was that work. Well, it hadn't come to the full fruition yet, but it was going on. Oh, this being born again. You can trace it out in him. And then what do we see? We see him at the cross, at Calvary, when all the disciples had forsaken and fled. We read Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, and they came and they took down the body of the Lord Jesus and they laid it in that tomb. Oh, this being born again. Oh, the looking to the Lord Jesus for everything. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. If you and I are to know a measure of the love of God, if we're to understand, well, we'll never fully comprehend it here, this side of the grave. But if we're to enter into, if you're seeking to know the love of God in your heart, if you want to know more of him, don't be surprised if he shows you more of yourself first. A bit, because to see the love of God, the love of God the Father, in giving his only begotten Son for his dear children, the Holy Spirit so works in their hearts to show them what they are. You know, you set out on your little pilgrimage. You feel the love of Christ in your heart at the new birth. You're in your early beginnings. Oh, but your desire is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to love him more day by day. And as you go on, the Lord shows you more of yourself. Well, it's humbling. You know, it's a surprise to some at first. Oh, but surely I should be getting better, shouldn't I? I've taken up the cross, I've followed him. Surely I should be getting better. Surely I should feel better with myself. Surely if I'm walking closer with him, I should be getting better. But as the Lord says, if you've come to the light, that all these things appear. If you draw near to the Saviour in prayer, if you want that close walk with him, as you draw nearer to him, don't be surprised if more of your imperfections are seen. You know, when you're drawn near to someone who's holy and harmless and perfect, doesn't it show up your imperfections? And if you want the Lord to give you more love, he has to show you how much he's loved you. And how does he do it? You see your sins. You see your faults and your failings. And you see them more and more as you go on in your life. And what does it do? You marvel more and more. Why me? Why me? Why did the Lord look down upon me in love and mercy? And the more I sin, the more I feel myself to need him more. The more he shows, you're loved as an everlasting love. The more you see this great love. For God so loved the world. He loved all those when they were dead in trespasses and in sins. When they were in that covenant of grace given by the Father to the Son, for God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He entered into that covenant. No, he delayed his coming here upon earth. But before the foundation of the world, the Son said, I will. As the Father gave him that people to bring about an everlasting salvation for. He said, I will. The decree gone forth. Yes, there was a walking of it out here below. But he agreed. He accepted. He willingly took that church, that bride for himself, given by the Father. And more than that, you see the Father's love in viewing that gift he gave his Son. He gave his Son for them. He gave them into the hands of his Son to bring about their everlasting salvation. But he gave his Son to them. Gave them to be that propitiation. It's a big word. It's used in the New Testament in one or two places. To be their propitiation. To be that thing whereby justice and mercy can meet together. You know, it's that mercy seat. In the tabernacle, we have the altar in the Old Testament. And on the top of the altar, on the top of the Ark of the Covenant, there's that seat. It's a lid. And it's two cherubims. And they're facing toward each other, looking inward. And there, the Lord said, I will meet with thee. The mercy seat, and it's a type of his beloved Son. There, in him, will I meet with thee. Justice satisfied, peace given, all in this glorious man, the man Christ Jesus. How the Lord can be righteous, how God can be righteous and merciful at the same time. His dear children have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and nothing that defileth can enter into heaven. But in Christ Jesus. They're found in Christ Jesus. And God can be merciful and righteous, all in him. He bears that price, pays the price, and is that surety for them, that scapegoat, that way of escape for them. All their sins laid on him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This Word, then, that was made flesh. John begins the Gospel with that beautiful opening. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, but not in bodily form. This is the Son of God from eternal generation, the Word. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The Word of God, the eternal Son of God, and the Father gave him. Oh, and that great command to take upon him the form of a servant, to be made like unto his brethren. In all points, sin accepted. And so this holy thing, you know, we don't have sort of the language to fully describe. And when we must only go so far, because we're only told as much as our poor minds can cope with. But the Word made flesh, you know, it's a beautiful subject. That God would condescend to come to this sinful earth. That God would come, and there's that lowering. He made himself a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Oh, he must taste death for every child of God. He must walk that way. He must pass through the article of death. And how could God die? God cannot die. It's impossible. And yet, oh, in this glorious man, the Word assuming a human body and a human soul, holy. You see, no original sin. Not like the first Adam, the second Adam. He's holy, without sin. And so you see him growing from a babe to a full-grown adult. But he has none of the marks of original sin. He will not die at the death like you and I will. We're dying sinners in a dying body, in a body of sin. There's no original sin in him. There's no sin, original or actual. Therefore, he will not die due to his sin. And this is the important part. You see, the Father gave him as his spotless sacrifice. And the Son, with this life, this human body and soul, in unity with his divine being, he laid it down. He laid it down for his friends. You see, it wasn't snatched from him. It wasn't the cruel spear. He was dead already. It wasn't the nails and the crown of thorns. He bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. A deliberate act, a willingness on his part, and a deliberate act in obedience to his Father. This commandment have I received from my Father. I have power to take it. This is his life. I have power to take it, and I have power to lay it down. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. You know, he has power to lay down his life and power to take it again. Oh, you see, this is a deliberate act of love and mercy from the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father, looking down from heaven, giving his Son. Oh, may you in this month of December, oh, be led and me to consider this great stoop that the Lord of glory made. You know, we will never appreciate it here below, except our eyes see heaven at last, and we see what he left. Oh, then we'll understand the great love of the Father and the great love of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, all united in this transaction of love, this great covenant of grace, this free and deliberate act of redemption, bringing about the purchase of all his dear people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He left his radiant throne on high, left the bright realms of bliss to come to earth, to bleed and die. Was ever love like this? Was there ever love like this? You know, you think of it, Almighty God in heaven, the Son of God, adored by countless angels, and he leaves the glories of heaven, comes to that manger, born to poor parents, born into this sinful world, free from sin, but living amongst sinners, living a life, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, the contradiction of sinners against himself, rejected by the majority of the household of Israel, persecuted, buffeted. Oh, the cruel mockings and scourgings towards the last days of his life. Oh, but all those questions, all those lawyers and Pharisees, all those things, the mocking, the scorning, the scoffing. Oh, friends, and all the while, the Father looking down from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Oh, can you contemplate that love that withholds his righteous hand as men are left to chastise his Son? You know, as he set his face steadfast toward Jerusalem, he fully knew. He knew what was before him, but he still had to walk it out. Oh, he knew Gethsemane. He had often been found there, but he had to enter in that last time. Oh, and there we see him pressed beyond measure, that the wrath, the horrors of hell, the everlasting eternal punishment that was due to his dear children, due to be spent on them, laid on him in that garden. And all the while, the Father, he's satisfied. Righteousness is satisfied. The law is being satisfied. Oh, they must pay for their sins. But the Lord Jesus says, no, I'll bear it for them. I'll bear the punishment. I'll bear the shame. I'll bear the mocking, the scourging. Oh, buffet me. Pass by them. Oh, don't touch them. Let these, my disciples, go. Oh, but take me. Use me. Abuse me in their stead. And the father turns away his face. The separation, you know, it's a strange thing to think of, but that separation of the father, looking down from his, from heaven, hearing the prayers of his, of the Lord Jesus, and yet in that garden, my soul is so exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And there, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. You see the horror of it, the weight of it, the burden of it. Oh, nevertheless, oh, you see the obedience, the willingness, the love, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Have you had to thank him for that? That nevertheless. Oh, if it be possible, Lord, don't lift thy hand from thy beloved son. Oh, spend all my sin, my horrors that were due to me on him. Stay not thy hand. You have to join with those in saying, do not release him, release Barabbas. You know, it's a strange place to be brought to. They all wanted to put him to death. The Lord's dear people, oh, they need him to die for them. He's their only hope, their only plea. And so with an honest, solemn, sin-grieved heart, they say, not this man, but Barabbas. Who shall I release unto you, said Herod. And you have to say, oh, with the sins weighing down on you, not this man. You know, to look him in the face, not this man, but Barabbas. Oh, I need this man. I need him in my room, in my place, and in my stead. Without this man, no heaven for me, no peace with God for me, no hope for me, no hope for me, only in Gethsemane. There is not a single hope for me except this man walk this pathway for me. Oh, the man, Christ Jesus. Is he your only hope? Is he your only plea? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Why? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Oh, you say, what a mercy, what a favour, what a blessing. He's given that sinners should not perish. Oh, let me be found amongst them. Who are they? Believers. Lord, make me a believer, a true believer in thy Son. Lord, let my only hope be found in him, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should be passed by at that great day, should escape that punishment due to them, should, like those children of Israel on that Passover night, might be found sheltering beneath the blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Well, the Lord Jesus said, let as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And he was. He's lifted up on that cross. If I be lifted up above the earth, will draw all men to me. And there, lifted up on that accursed tree, the shameful death, the humiliation, the suffering. Oh, but it's sweet, the moments, rich in blessing, which beneath the cross I spend. Oh, there's many an hour that the Lord's dear children have spent at that cross, viewing mercy's streams in streams of blood, love and grief my heart dividing. With his tears his feet I'll bathe. Love I've much forgiven. I'm a miracle of grace. Oh, what a miracle to be found in amongst the people of God, to be found in that fold that the Lord spoke of, and other sheep have I, and other sheep have I. Oh, let there be room for me, dear Lord. Oh, let me not perish in my sin. There is that way of escape made for sinners. Oh, could it please thee to draw me to thyself, to show me that I'm born of God, oh, that I'm loved as an everlasting love. I'm a partaker of everlasting life, that I may have peace with God, that peace in believing. The Lord will raise me up to that sweet hope, give me faith in his beloved Son. Faith, though I may be at the back of the crowd. You know that what Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness? What a great camp. Over 1 million people in that camp. You know, vast camp. And a pole and a brazen serpent on it. Well, it'd only be a small flicker in the sunlight to those that were on the outer edge of the camp. But it wasn't a clear view that was needed. It was looking to him, looking to it. It was to look and to live. Oh, you want a clear view. I don't blame you. Oh, I want a clear view. But sometimes we're not given a clear view. But what is it you're being brought to look away from yourself? You're looking. It's a very act of faith, looking from any hope in yourself to looking to him and him alone. Oh, there's my hope of heaven. Oh, if my soul's to be found in heaven, it's through him. He's the only way. He must bring it about. His blood must cleanse my blackened soul. His robe of righteousness, that's my only hope. I'm not looking to anything in my own life. I'm looking to him for it all, the robe of righteousness, to cover my shame of having once been a sinner. I'm looking to him to wash my soul at that great day. You know, you won't have it washed here below. You may be given a sense of the full assurance of it, but the very act of your soul being cleansed from sin is yet to take place, dear child of God. You can't have perfection here. Oh, you can have a hope of it hereafter. Oh, but you won't find it here. You'll see it in him. You'll long for it. You'll look to it in him. Look for it in him. But oh, you're to yet fully partake of it. But there's a hope given to his children. Oh, there's a hope in that advocate, to step forward at that great day. Oh, there's a hope in that word, that whosoever believeth in him. It's that great net that catches men, women, boys and girls, different walks of life, different nationalities, different dispositions, but they've all got the same theme in their heart. Nothing of self, all in him, sick of self, fond of him, looking away from themselves, looking to him. Give me Christ or else I die is their language. Oh, they can't live without him. They can't die without him. He is to them the one thing needful. And oh, may you and I know that religion, a day-by-day religion, looking to him day by day, looking to him for everything, for now and for eternity, seeking to know him more and more, to walk in his ways, seeking more faith, to believe him, to trust him, seeking to know more that love, oh, that love which passeth all understanding. John, writing, says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Well, what manner of love must that be? Look at yourself in the mirror. You're a guilty, wretched sinner. But what manner of love? Oh, that the Father loves the Son, and the Father loves his children, and he gives his only begotten Son for them. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Well, if he gave it to his people as their sin offering. Oh, have you been a receiver of it? You know, to receive the Son of God by faith, as in your needs as a sinner, to receive him and to make his soul an offering for your sin. That's what it is in that short prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God in heaven, grieved with my sin, angered with my sin, be merciful. And only you can only be merciful through the beloved Son of God. God, be merciful. Oh, give thy beloved Son as my sin offering, that lamb without blemish and without spot. Let me lay my hand on that dear head of thine, while like a penitent I stand and there confess my sin. Be merciful to me. It's personal. I'm the one. I've sinned. I must stand. I must give an account. Oh, and if my sin remains, I must forever suffer in hell at last. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £760, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Izzard is expected to preach on Tuesday evening and next Lord's Day. And there will be a church meeting on Monday the 12th of December. And there will also be a church prayer meeting this coming Friday the 9th of December. Let us close with hymn 721. To him that loved us ere we lay, concealed within the passive clay, to him that loved us though we fell, and saved us from the pains of hell. 721.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.